FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's the second to last day of November 2017. Where did the year go? Hey, I'm still recovering from Thanksgiving, always my favorite holiday of the year, but there's a lot more to be thankful for, and you need to be thankful and express gratitude every day of the year. Don't just save it for that one day per year or several religious holidays. Gratitude is a state of being. And, well, the person you're about to hear from is very grateful about an event that happened almost a year to the day, last November in 2016. I'm talking about the election of Donald Trump. And you can have your own views. You're welcome to them. But I predicted long ago in July of 2015 that Trump was going to win, and he never disappointed. So our guest is a good long-term friend of mine, Naresh Vissa. And Naresh has written several books before. Naresh, oh, and by the way, if you got a question or a comment for myself, Naresh, anyone else who's appeared on the show, and you want to be part of the show, we want you to be part of the show, email kl@kerrylutz.com or use the Twitter feed @KerryLutz. So Naresh, welcome back here to the show.
Kerry, it's a pleasure to be on. And believe it or not, you talked about how fast the year has gone by. You and I were in Cuba almost exactly a year ago in Havana. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. And it probably would be harder to get back there now, although I am a journalist. You probably could pass as a journalist, I would say, if you really want to go. Where there's a will, there's a lawyer. Hey, first of all, I got to give this warning that appears on Amazon. The content in this book is controversial and may be considered offensive or disturbing to digital liberals. Reader discretion is advised, and maybe you should get a note from your mommy before you read it here, Naresh.
Well, Kerry, I had to put that disclaimer in there because this book that came out a few weeks ago called Trump Book, How Digital Liberals Silenced a Nation into Making America Hate Again. The book's been banned by several of my book promoting or book promotion, book marketing partners. They said that it's inciting and it is too controversial and they cannot promote it in any way, no matter how much money I offered to pay them. These are people I've been working with for many, many, many years to sell tens of thousands of copies of various books. Mm. And they're also the same people who are promoting Hillary Clinton's book, former Democratic left-wing Congress people's, their books, former Democratic senators' books, but they won't promote my book. And here's the catch, Kerry. My book is not even a pro-Trump book. To set the stage on my background, I didn't vote in 2016. I'm not pro-Trump by any means, but this book goes into detail about how Trump used online and digital media to defeat Hillary Clinton. That's really the basis of what it's about. And it takes hard data that I've researched and collected. It also takes real Facebook and social media posts that I found that were just really crazy, astonishing posts. I spent a year compiling these illogical, some of them are logical, but most of them are illogical, crazy posts about how their lives are over, how they're going to get raped because Mike Pence is going to take away abortion, and how women are going to be glued to the kitchen, and just crazy, crazy posts that people were posting on my own Facebook newsfeed. So it's a book that deals with online and digital and how Trump utilized it and how his biggest detractors, his biggest haters were the ones who actually got him elected in 2016.
That is a great, great point. People are always making disparaging comments about Trump's Twitter feed, about his tweets, because he'll just say whatever's on his mind. And those tweets are the reason that he got elected in no short measure.
Absolutely. They are a major, major reason why he got elected. And there are countless examples of the top story on Fox or CNN or MSNBC being a Trump Twitter post, not even a press conference or a major news item. It's literally a screenshot of his tweet that he sent out. It's 140 characters or less. And that's the top story. And that was a case you said you predicted in July 2015. That's when it started. And I would say I predicted that he was going to win the Republican nomination around August 2015 because of the way the media was covering him and not covering people like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio. It was all about Trump. He became the man with the target on his back. And that's when I knew this guy is going to make it very, very, very far and he would win the Republican nomination.
Hey, well, you know, the media built him up because they thought he was the weakest candidate to face the anointed Hillary Clinton. And that was the biggest mistake because he was the only candidate of the whole field of 20 candidates, well, 17 on the Republican side, that could have beaten her. They're still blind to that fact now because he's the only one who said, you should be in jail. He's the only one who said, I'll appoint a special prosecutor. He's the only one who really kept her email scandal and every other scandal at the forefront. The only one that brought up Bill Clinton's bad behavior in the White House. None of the other ones were ever going to do any of that, and therefore they were destined to failure.
Well, Kerry, you might think this is somewhat of a conspiracy theory, but let's follow the money a little bit. If you look at the mainstream news media, the New York Times actually filed for bankruptcy several years ago. CNN was, I mean, they've had layoff after layoff. Disney properties have had layoff. In fact, ESPN today just laid off
150 people. I'm shocked.
And so before Trump ran, call it a conspiracy theory or not, but the numbers, the proof of it is in the numbers. Cable news is getting about a million viewers a night, the average cable news channel. And that's really nothing. And the media has to do what they have to do to make their money. And they found Trump. They saw this guy is a media maven. He knows how to bring in viewers. And so his haters, CNN, MSNBC, they jumped on the Trump bandwagon and did what they could to attract, to go after him and attract all these viewers. And Trump saved their businesses. The New York Times subscriptions have soared. At the end of 2016, the New York Times subscriptions soared 11-fold. And the only reason is because of Trump. It's not because people just decided that they wanted to start reading the New York Times because they wanted more news. It's because of how they went after Trump. CNN, their president came out and said that 2016 was the best year that they had post-millennium or post-digital.
Yeah.
And again, that's because of Trump. And CNN's president, his name's Jeff Zucker, sure. Not only was it the best year for ratings, where their ratings were up 50%, but his wife is the principal of the private school on the, I believe it's on the Upper West Side, Manhattan, where Donald Trump's son, Barron Trump, attended school. And Donald Trump donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to that school. So there's, again, take what you want out of that, but there's something here. Yes, CNN, they go after Trump. The left-wing news media goes after Trump. But there's some kind of collusion going on here. And they, in addition to his haters on social media, the mainstream news media got him elected as well. And they're loving his presidency.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, don't get me started on the media. The media definitely did, but I think they were unwitting in doing it. And they do genuinely hate the guy. All right. There's no question about it. They're so disrespectful. They are so over the top in their twisted analysis. Because look, the trip to Asia was an unqualified success. I don't think there's any other way that you could look at it. And yet, you know, they don't go back and say, well, the last time Obama went to Beijing, he had to crawl out of the belly of Air Force One because they wouldn't even roll a set of stairs up to the plane. And there was no red carpet treatment. This time, the stairs were there and the red carpet went as far as the human eye could see. And can you imagine if they refused to roll up the stairs to Air Force One if Trump was on it? He would have said, he would have flung the bird at them and just turned the plane around and left. And there's no way that they could ever risk that. But I think that they do respect him. The nicknames they have for him, Donald the Strong, Uncle Donald the Powerful. I never
in
heard
Donald
them,
we trust.
Yeah. I'd never heard them saying Barack the Invincible. Did you?
I didn't hear that. But one thing, Carrie, that I will say is the amount of criticism that I see of Trump, not the amount, but the type of criticism is very similar to what I saw with President Obama and with President George W. Bush. I'm talking, in the book, there's several actual examples of people writing stuff on Facebook, literally blaming President Trump for colds that they have, for the rise in gas prices. Thanks, Trump. I paid $2 more at the pump.
And that's not even true.
The hurricanes that hit us, Carrie, in Florida. They blamed Trump for that. I mean, I don't even know how somebody has the power to create, especially someone who's been in office for, you know, a couple of months, how he has these superpowers to create such a man, or what these people think are man-made events. So I saw the same thing with Obama, where people were blaming him for every little thing, and people were blaming George W. Bush for every little thing. Yeah. There was a news article last week, you probably saw it. It was front page about how Trump took, he was giving a speech and he picked up his glass of water to drink his water twice.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. How can you not drink water properly? I don't quite get that. What did I miss there? I'm in a different time zone or different generation, because I just can't see it occurring, but yet it does occur. Hey, so the premise of the book is that these people digitally have divided the country and made people hate. Do you think, how much power does the media really have in this day and age?
Well, the media is not just the mainstream news media. Social media is even more powerful than ever before. And it wasn't even relevant in 2000 and 2004. Now, what I talk about is Newton's third law. Newton's third law is essentially equal but opposite reactions. And I apply that to the electoral process. And what that means is, for as many haters that somebody has, there are an equal number of lovers. And in the case of Trump, and it was a case with Obama, a case with George W. Bush. In the case of Trump, online and digitally, he was crushing Hillary Clinton and all of his Republican opponents when it just came to pure data of online mentions, engagements, etc. He was crushing the competition. He had more online engagements than Obama had in 2012. So that data point tells you that this is a very popular guy. Now, his detractors would say, yeah, he's being talked about, but it's all negative. 99% of it is negative. It's all people who hate him who are talking about him. And so that's why I bring up Newton's third law, equal but opposite, where there ended up being a silent 49% who people didn't know about and who didn't engage online. And that only goes to show just how popular and the talk of the town Trump was and Trump is. And so if you apply that to 2016, yes, he did win. And if you apply that to 2020, I have a hard time seeing the Democrats putting somebody who can compete with that online media, online marketing, online branding that Trump has. And as a result, I finished the book with my prediction that Trump is going to win in 2020 and serve a second term.
Yeah. That's an interesting hypothesis, and I don't know if you're right or wrong here, Naresh, but I do know that he has a popularity that's far greater than the media desires to perceive, and that there are a lot of people that his message has resonated with. So you have to wonder, you know, is there something to this whole Trump train?
There's absolutely something to the Trump train. I will say, Carrie, I know you've covered it on your show. These Republican tax cuts are incredibly, incredibly important for the 2018 midterms. And depending on that, they're going to be very important for 2020. I do think that there will be some solid tax cuts passed that the Republicans will like, that the constituency will like. And as a result, I do expect the Republicans to keep all of Congress and Trump to be reelected. But if for any reason they're not able to pass good Republican tax cuts by, I would say, early Q2 next year, that will have a major, major impact on the midterms in 2018. It's going to hurt the Republicans and it's going to hurt Trump in 2020. So that's my only caveat about Trump's reelection in 2020. But outside of that, defeating Trump in 2020, you bring up the news media and media in general, the left, the social media posters, the left-wing news media, they can still defeat Trump in 2020, but they're not showing any signs of acceptance. The acceptance that Trump is their president. You still see the hashtag not my president, which is childish and really out of touch with reality. If you can't accept who your president is, if you can't accept how life is today, there's no way you're going to be able to move forward tomorrow. And so these people, they're not very accepting of that. They're not very accepting of their neighbors, the people around them, what their views are, why they think a certain way. They've called them names. They've called them race. I mean, Carrie, I'm sure you've been called every name in the book. Racist, bigot, xenophobic, you name it. Just like I've been called every name in the book.
Yeah.
And if that's their way of dealing with alternative points of view, people who don't agree with them or people who don't live like them or act like them, to just blindly go ahead and call all those people racists or bigots, it's going to continue. Newton's third law again. The silent 49% is going to speak up. And finally, they just keep giving him attention. They just won't stop with the water, you know, the drinking of the water. Like, seriously, you're going to make that front page news?
What about, you know, there was one as absurd as that. That was when Melania was wearing spiked heels.
In
Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, how could anybody start that with a straight face? I mean, come on. Like, that was just the most absurd thing I ever heard. And when you're left discussing the first lady's high heels and that it's a slight to everyday Americans, they didn't seem to be very slighted. Then they lied when he went to Houston and said that that he didn't interact with people who were victimized by the hurricane. I mean, it's just pure lies here, Naresh.
It's lies. It's just people, they're obsessed with him. They're literally obsessed with Trump. And they really, the point of the book is their obsession with Trump is what got him elected. And if they want him out, they need to stop obsessing over him, stop showing him so much attention, and focus their efforts on somebody else. If they showed Ben Carson or Rand Paul or Mike Huckabee or Jeb Bush all that attention, Trump would have been irrelevant, just like he was in 2000. A lot of people don't know, but Trump ran in 2000 as a third party independent for the Reform Party. And he ran on a platform of Hillary care. He wanted Oprah to be his vice president. He's had a long-lasting relationship with her and several other socialist media personalities and politicians.
Sure.
And he was a lot more coherent back in 2000 than he is today. If you look, you can go back, look at his old interviews from the 90s and when he ran in 2000, a lot more coherent. But nobody gave a crap about him. They didn't show him any attention. They didn't take him seriously. Now, all of a sudden, people are doing the opposite, and all they're doing is helping him.
Hey, and you know what's so amazing here, Naresh, is that no sooner do you release the book, then there's so much that has happened here that would really be relevant to your book. So you're going to have to do an update. I'm talking about the Hollywood sexual harassment, sex assault scandals, Harvey Weinstein. Just today, Matt Lauer got the boot. Matt Lauer. And he was interviewing Al Franken about somebody's sexual harassment. Al Franken's in the doghouse. John Conyers, longest serving congressman from Detroit in the House of Representatives, he's on the hot seat. And it's like, look, what I try to explain to you out there is that everything is connected. The media disconnects the dots, Naresh. They say, oh, this is unrelated to that, to that. It's all connected. Sometimes it's more connected than in other times. I believe these are very connected. And I'll look forward to your update on this book because really it's so relevant and momentous at this point.
Yeah, well, I have an entire chapter about why Hollywood should shut their mouth about or their mouths about politics. These are arrogant, self-important individuals who go to these award shows like the Oscars and Golden Globes, and they have no idea what they're talking about. They fly in private fuel-wasting jets and yachts to give speeches on climate change.
Noticed that, huh?
Their lifestyles really diminish their moral authority, and they are influential figures because they make tons of money and they're on big screens, but they have no idea what they're talking about. And to give you an example, George Clooney, who has been
He's implicated too.
Yeah, and it's funny because he criticized Trump on the wall and his tight immigration stances, and he said that Trump is being bigoted and racist by these tougher immigration standards. Well, get this, a bunch of media photographers jumped over his own wall. He has a wall in his mansion.
Yes.
In California, they jumped over his wall and took pictures of his family and his children. And he came out and said he has his lawyers and he's going after these. I think there were Hollywood Reporter or People Magazine, whoever it was. He said he was going after these photographers and that they would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And I'm just thinking, this Hollywood ignoramus, just like all of them are, who criticize a president for tightening to essentially try to get rid of illegal immigration. He's upset that people who are legally here are jumping over his wall that he built. And yes, it is illegal to jump over private property, but it's also illegal for illegals to come into this country. And if I were the magazine that published this, I would give out his address and send it to the entire illegal alien population of Mexico so that they can jump over Clooney's wall and he can see exactly what it feels like for a bunch of illegals to come in and violate privacy and take benefits and all that. If you want to come to this country, you can absolutely come in. Just do it legally. That's how my family came here. That's how many people we know, Carrie, came here. They went through the process, they got approved, and they moved here. There's no need for people to jump over walls or build tunnels and, do whatever they need to do to get here illegally. Just come here legally.
Hey, we want you to come here legally, all right? And enjoy the benefits. Don't come here looking for welfare, looking for handouts, looking for EBT cards, which is what the progressives, I don't want to say the party, are all about. Anyway, if you're listening, I'm here with Naresh Vissa. His book, Trump Book, How Digital Liberals Silenced a Nation into Making America Hate Again. And again, look at the warning on the Amazon page. You find it on Amazon. Order it. It's a great book. Naresh, good friend. Known each other a long time. Do you want to be here, Naresh, in Florida? Or would you rather be 90 miles off the coast in the People's Republic of Cuba? You know, where would you rather be? You saw what that place was like. It's falling to pieces all over. That is the natural result of socialism. And the cry of true hardened socialists is let them eat dog. So you want to find out why people hate each other, why we're a divided country, although we're less divided than the media would have you believe, because we have far more things in common, far more issues of import in common than not. But it's all phraseology and semantics, and it doesn't mean a thing. Naresh, where else do we find you? What's your website?
Get on my free newsletter, NareshVissa.com. I send out tidbits on online business, e-commerce, online marketing. You can get the book. It's available on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon. You can go to NareshVissa.com. It's selling well despite the censorship, despite the bans. And Carrie, thank you so much for getting me on the show. And I look forward to connecting again in the future.
I'm sure we will in the not too distant future. You're always welcome here, Naresh. And by the way, questions, comments, join the show. It's your show, KL at Carrie Lutz, Twitter feed at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Naresh, we'll talk to you again real soon. Great luck on the book.
Appreciate it, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what
crash next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.